first time I heard that was driving around the Surrey countryside in an old Mitsubishi Charger listening to Laser 558. What a great station that was. Did you ever listen to Laser 558?
No, I can't say I did.
Yeah.
A bit before my time, wasn't it?
You were stuck on Radio 1, were you?
I had no choice.
Weren't allowed to change the channel, yeah.
Woke up in the morning with the DJs there. I couldn't be listening to something
Ooh,
else.
Oh, I say, right, OK. Before that, Pet Shop Boys, It's a Sin on the theme for Feel Good Friday Tomorrow, studio at Rivieradio.mc. Now, as France begins to reopen after lockdown, there are fears that one long-standing French tradition could fall victim to coronavirus. Kissing.
I thought you'd say this.
Kissing cheeks to say bonjour can seem a slightly strange habit for those not used to it, but la bise is a long-standing French tradition and a firmly embedded social custom, and very nice it is too, as well. No?
Yes. No, I'll miss it. It's not going to go completely out.
I had a bit of trouble getting used to it when I first came to France.
Well, it's how many, isn't it? And
yeah,
it's on the...
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to start on the left cheek. And if you're well brought up, it's the left
kissing
cheek
as well.
Air kissing. Yeah.
Whether it's President Macron welcoming the German Chancellor Angela Merkel to a high-profile state meeting, or a regular French woman greeting her friend at a bar, the gesture is fundamentally the same. And la bise is packed with regional specificities. How many kisses depends on where in France you are, and has been a basic social code for ages, but not all French people are a fan of the tradition. One person wrote on Twitter, on the upsides to this epidemic, it's the end of la bise. I hate this custom. And that as soon as I step back to avoid drooling, unasked for mouths on my cheek, people get upset. She said that one of the top cultural magazines in France, which in its latest issue featured a six-page long feature entitled When La Bise Disappeared. Do you remember before, when we said hi, bye and thanks by kissing each other? Have you asked yourself why? Other than pointing to how the coronavirus could mean quitting la bise for good, Society magazine asked a poignant question, do the French know why they kiss? It turns out many don't. I've almost always asked myself why, but I have no idea, said one woman. I think people just do it because everyone else does it, said another. And others said that they avoid la bise if they can. I saw some men shaking hands yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was it not because... I thought that kissing was better than shaking hands because you spread more germs through a handshake than you do through kissing.
Wasn't it about sort of stuff that comes out of your nose and mouth, though?
But that doesn't happen when you give somebody a peck on the cheek.
Just by you don't realise, but just by breathing out, you're releasing things.
No, I know. I mean, obviously now.
So if you go up to somebody and go. Well, I thought handshaking was a total no-no.
Well, yes, no, definitely. I would, as I said, I thought before it was. I thought the kiss was better than a handshake.
It was just outside Castorama. One bloke did the elbow bump, and the other one sort of shook the other one's hand. So try and do one or the other. Not both, hopefully. The fantastic thing about Yes Minister and Yes Prime Minister is so much of it is still relevant today. Here's the Swings comedy clip. Sound familiar?
It's Humphrey.
Oh, yes, Batman.
I'm very troubled by what I've just learned.
What is that?
Well, I feel as if I've been walking about with my eyes shut. I never realised that there was a cabinet plot against the Prime Minister.
Is there? How interesting.
But you said there was.
I said nothing, Bernard, nothing at all.
You mean, Well, do you know if there is a plot?
No.
No, there isn't, or no, you don't know?
Yes.
Sir Humphrey, what exactly has the Employment Secretary done?
Nothing as yet, Bernard, and we must keep it that way.
But isn't his plan rather a good one?
For whom?
The country.
That is hardly the point.
Why not?
Bernard, when you move on from here, where do you plan to go?
Well, I don't know.
Well, how would you like to be Deputy Secretary in charge of Defence Procurement?
Oh, gosh.
In Sunderland, or Berwick-on-Tweed, or Lossiemouth.
Is that a place?
Lossiemouth? What do you think it was?
A dog food.
Well, if the Employment Secretary has his way, you may get a 3-year diet of Lossiemouth yourself, you see?
Crikey, yes.
So how can it be good for the country?
Well, it couldn't possibly. But why did you suggest sending for the Chief Whip to confirm a plot that doesn't exist?
Because he's bound to hedge. The Chief Whip cannot categorically state that there's no plot against the Prime Minister, just in case there is. He has to cover himself. Oh, good morning,
morning
Chief Whip.
Good morning. Could you wait in the private office?
Certainly.
Bernard? Now, go in there and inform me of their conversation.
Well, I'm not sure I can do that, Sir Humphrey. It might be confidential.
Bernard, the matter at issue is the defence of the realm and the stability of the government.
But you only need to know things on a need-to-know basis.
I need to know everything. How else can I judge whether or not I need to know it?
So that means you need to know things even when you don't need to know them. You need to know them not because you need to know them, but because you need to know whether or not you need to know. And if you don't need to know, you still need to know so that you know that there is no need to know.
Yes.
Good. That's very clear.
Sounds a bit like the Prime Minister's appearance before the Liaison Committee yesterday.
Today's quiz, it's all about Coventry. I've made it very easy. This group formed in 1977 in Coventry.
The Specials.
Yes, the album.
Can you that
name
yesterday.
Yes, well, name two of their albums.
Oh, I can name a lot of singles, but not albums. Saturday Night, Sunday Morning, was that one of them?
I haven't got that one, no. Well, yes, probably. I wanted Ghost Town or Guilty Till Proven Innocent.
What, the name of albums?
Yes. Yeah.
I wasn't buying albums back then, I was only buying singles. So, yeah.
Okay, and the lead singer of the Specials, Terry Hall, was a former member of another group, several other groups. Can you at least tell me one of them?
Yeah, Colourfield.
Well done.
And Funboy 3.
Very good. Ooh. I'm impressed.
A bit of a Terry Hall fan.
And famous, finally rather, happy birthday to Kylie today, born on this day in 1968. Which of her songs released in April, well, one of her songs released in April 1990 was the one which was considered to have reinvented Minogue with more sex appeal?
Do I have to play the clip now?
Well, can you guess, can you tell me the song or not?
1990,
and it was considered that it reinvented Kylie Minogue. Produced by Pete Waterman, who was also born in Coventry.
Well, it's not I Can't Get You Out of My Head, because that sort of reinvented her again, didn't it? But that was a decade on. No.
OK, well, now you can play the clip.
Play the clip.
Best of
the Devil, you know.
What kind of music do you want to make?
She just said it, didn't
it? I think it might be the first time he really asked me that. I said, I'm really into Kathy Dennis and D-Mob, Come On and Get My Love. And once you know that, if you recall that song in Kathy and D-Mob's version, My Love For You, oh, and Better the Devil Is, oh. So true Stock Aitken Waterman style, they have taken the best. And they'll be the first to hold their hands up and say that, you know, what goes around comes around.
Is that 2.5 out of 3, then?
Yes, I'll give that to you.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Good. What's on
you
your mind?
Okay?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks, yeah.
Well, you seem a bit sort of dishevelled.
Dishevelled?
Yes.
You can't even see me.
You seem a little bit lost this morning.
Look,
I can sense it.
I think the country needs to move on now. Next question.
Your predictions about Mr. Cummings resigning have fallen flat again?
Yeah, I get everything wrong, don't I?
You think he's going to survive?
Well, it's looking that. I mean, with the weekends coming up, if you can get over that, I think he's home and dry, don't you?
Yeah, I think even Sir Keir Starmer, the leader of Her Majesty's opposition, said it's time to move on. There are some more pressing matters. So, the Prime Minister, not surprisingly, but it's not often you see leaders, stick it out, be so aggressive for an aide, but certainly did that this time around.
Well, I wasn't terribly impressed with his performance at the Liaison Committee yesterday afternoon, I have to say.
No, it was a real grilling yesterday, wasn't it? It was, there were some interesting questions put to him, it had to be said, so it was all a
none of which he answered.
Well, that's ideal for a politician, isn't it?
But don't you think people want something a bit different now? And this, you know, clarity in leadership, I think, is what they call it.
Well, I could see you running for office. I could see you leading the charge on
you never
on
get
those
me back to the UK, sorry.
Of transparency.
Yeah.
Should we do markets?
Well, yeah, just before that, I mean, despite the fact that it looks like Mr. Cummings is going to survive, it has opened up a big rift within the Parliamentary Conservative Party.
It has done. We know that a number of Conservatives, I think, I can't remember what the latest number is, you say
60-odd, yeah.
Around that sort of number, felt that it undermined the government's message in terms of the lockdown, and obviously lots of people have made sacrifices on the behest of the government, and some felt that that sort of... they were betrayed by leaders who haven't followed those rules in the same sense as they have. So it's no surprise that it has created some friction within the party, but one suspect will be relatively short-lived.
And a few of those backbenchers have got a bit of an axe to grind, notably the Sadge and Jeremy Hunt as well.
It's true. Yes, some names from the past who haven't been promoted back to the front benches have expressed their dismay. You're right.
OK, well, let's turn our attention to the markets. I'm sure Boris Johnson would rather talk about that anyway. Not too bad at all, actually. A sustained rally going on, by the looks of it.
President Trump as well. US stocks advanced for a third straight day on rising optimism and pandemic's damage has peaked. The S&P 500 climbed to an 11-week high, closed above the 3,000 level, driven by a recovery in stocks that have been battered due to their sectors effectively shutting down. So we saw gains in the cruise operators and the airlines. Yes, actually, stay-at-home beneficiaries that performed well during the lockdown, like Peloton and Zoom, eased back a little bit yesterday. Although, of course, rising tensions in Hong Kong continue to occupy investors' minds. US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that Hong Kong is no longer politically autonomous from China, a move that could impact its special trading status. Hang Seng was down 1.6% overnight and has been trading down its lowest levels since the peak of the pandemic market meltdown back in March. In the US, said S&P 500 in good shape, up 1.5%. NASDAQ was up 0.7%. Looking at another strong start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE up 42 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 98 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 33 points. Of course, being helped by further signs of stimulus coming through from Europe.
See, President Trump is going to issue a decree about social media sites. So should you be worried, do you think?
I'm not sure I should be overly worried, although I haven't been tweeting too much recently. I'm thinking of restarting. My numbers still remain extremely strong, but I know that my followers, and that there's thousands and thousands of them, they know that they're getting great clarity. They're getting wonderful, wonderful news, updated views on the markets, and of course, 100% guaranteed.
The thing I like about you is your modesty.
It's one of my greatest charms. I've always thought that.
Right, a massive economic stimulus package announced by the European Union yesterday.
Well, in order for the European project to work, greater levels of integration and cooperation are required. In times of economic dislocation, it's of course all the more important for member states to consider the collective good. In the early days of the virus, European leaders very much focused on stability and stimulus at a national level. The country-centric approach very much risked alienating weaker members, those that have less fiscal ammunition to mitigate the impact of the pandemic on their economies. However, in a uniting gesture, the European Union's executive arm have proposed a massive €750 billion fiscal stimulus package. Some of it's already been spoken about before. The €500 billion will be distributed in the form of grants. €250 billion will come in loans. The package will be partly funded via joint debt issuance. Market reaction: riskier Italian bonds rallied. 10-year yield fell 8 basis points to 1.47% yesterday. That's a two-month low. While safer German Bund yields rose, the euro also strengthened. It seemed, I think, as confirmation that we are seeing a step change within Europe. European countries, for the first time, embracing the notion of nations sharing debt.
And I just wanted to talk to you about, you know, the possibility of a new Green Deal after this is all over, sort of as Roosevelt did at the end of the Great Depression. But, I mean, you know, what would be the problem with getting big companies, particularly construction, fossil fuel companies involved and taking people on, you know, to put up solar panels, build sort of wind farms, you know, really, really go for green and hopefully just reduce the spiraling unemployment that's going to be happening as well.
Well, we have seen elements of that. We've been talking earlier this week about the risk that, while in the short term, the lockdown has resulted in significant reductions in CO2 emissions, lots of fears that that could spike up once again, and particularly the reduced investment in the likes of renewables as countries postpone that investment in infrastructure and green technology could pose a real problem. I think there's something that officials have been conscious about. We're just talking about Europe. That plan includes proposals to establish a green recovery roadmap for each sector. It also increases the European Union's 2030 target for greenhouse gas emissions reductions. And actually, if you look from an investment perspective, ESG, that's environmental, social and governance funds, have performed relatively well during the course of the sell-off. They continue to see resilient inflows. The virus crisis could actually accelerate the realization that investment and businesses should, of course, serve human beings and sustainability. So a theme that I think will continue to play out.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 122.5 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 110. Going to get €1.11 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much. Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts from Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
France will find out today what phase two of the progressive end to lockdown will entail. Following the Defence Council meeting today, Prime Minister Edouard Philippe will at 5pm announce measures for the reopening of restaurants, cinemas and high schools, as well as future holidays and the possible end of the current travel limit. And the colour-coded map of France indicating where the coronavirus is in high circulation will be updated. As the number of intensive care patients continues to drop and now in the third week of deconfinement, many in France are hopeful that phase two will see more flexibility and perhaps a green designation for the entire country. Meanwhile, the French government has confirmed that it will reduce its partial activity coverage to support businesses from the coronavirus crisis. From June the 1st, companies will have to pay 15% of this compensation, which was put in place at the start of lockdown in order to avoid mass redundancies. According to data from the French government, around 8.6 million euro employees were placed on partial unemployment, costing the state 24 billion euros between March and May. Not all sectors will be affected, as those activities that cannot restart on June the 1st may continue to benefit from 100% support for their partial activity by the state. A new study by French researchers in partnership with the Pasteur Institute has shown that mild cases of COVID-19 produce antibodies whose neutralising effect increases in the weeks following infection. Further research is, however, required to determine how long the neutralising effect lasts. Following the suspension in France of the use of hydroxychloroquine to treat COVID-19, a decision made by the High Council of Public Health, Professor Didier Raoult, head of the IHU in Marseille, who has controversially praised and used the treatment, says the data gathered does not make sense, adding that there is no mention of a hospital doctor or those that were sick and treated. In Marseille, 3,300 people followed Professor Raoult's protocol, taking hydroxychloroquine. Among them, 18 people died after 3 days of treatment. None died of the complications that are indicated in the study, said the professor. Didier Raoult carried out large-scale PCR testing at the IHU from the start of the epidemic, even though the French government recommended tests only for people considered to be at risk. At the height of the crisis, the IHU performed more than 4,000 tests per day. When asked if the lockdown had been beneficial, Raoult answered, "I don't know, but it probably avoided panic and fear among the population." In other news, a petition launched against new cycling paths introduced in Nice has received more than 3,000 signatures. The city of Nice installed the new paths during the lockdown, notably on the Quai des États-Unis and Port area. The move has been criticised due to the fact that it restricts traffic to one lane, causing congestion in other parts of the city, with motorists having to make huge detours. The Monaco government has put health measures in place for the reopening of beaches and swimming pools from June the 2nd. Limits will be put in place to restrict the number of people present simultaneously on the beach. A distance of at least 1.5 metres must be maintained between people, except members of the same household. Wearing a mask is not compulsory, subject to strict respect for health distancing. Groupings are limited to a maximum of 5 people or 1 family. Enhanced cleaning and disinfection measures are also being put in place. And for more information, you can go to covid19.mc. Finally, the European Commission has unveiled a plan to borrow on the market and then give the €750 billion to EU countries in grants and loans to help them recover from their coronavirus crisis, giving an immediate boost to the euro. Italy and Spain, the worst hit by the pandemic, are expected to receive as much as €313 billion in grants and loans. Of the €750 billion, 2/3 would be in grants financed by joint borrowing and 1/3 in loans.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football English Premier League clubs have voted unanimously to resume contact training as 4 more players tested positive for coronavirus. A total of 1,008 players and staff have been tested for the virus in the latest series of tests. So far, 12 people have tested positive across the league after more than 2,700 tests. Phase 2 of Project Restart will see players train as a group and engage in tackling while minimising unnecessary close contact. Discussions are continuing about when the league can resume. Formula One, the FIA has approved cost-cutting measures following a vote at the World Motorsport Council. A statement said that cost-cutting was necessary due to the need to reduce spending and safeguard the sport in the light of the COVID-19 pandemic. Formula One had already agreed to introduce a budget cap for 2021, but the new measures go further. The cuts will affect sporting, technical and financial regulations, with costs reduced by $30 million next year and by a further $15 million in the period between 2022 and 2025. Cricket's plans to reduce the capacity at the Oval in London are being considered to allow some spectators to watch games later in the summer. The Oval has a capacity of 25,500, but Surrey County Cricket Club is looking at reducing its to 6,000 in order to respect social distancing. There has been no cricket played in England since the virus pandemic ended all live sports in March. And in rugby league, the sport returns to Australia later today despite continued fears over coronavirus. The league is enforcing tough restrictions on players and officials to minimise the risks, but critics say that the very nature of the game is the perfect environment for the virus to spread. There have also been questions raised as to why teams from New Zealand are being allowed to enter Australia to take part in one of the country's most popular sports.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaraz Sea in the VAR, the general situation weakening high pressure 1,025 to 1,030 millibars over the region. Winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat 1,028 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, thundery showers, force 4 to 6 easterly winds, moderate seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,027 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, thundery showers, force 3 to 5 northeasterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Fine this morning, clouding over in the Almaraz Sea this afternoon with some scattered showers and thunderstorms by late afternoon. And moderate westerly winds, a high of 23 to 25 degrees. Overnight lows 18 degrees on the coast, 14 degrees inland with scattered showers in the Almaraz Sea. Friday and the start of the weekend, sunshine and showers, highs of 20 to 24 degrees. Finally.
Perfect timing. She's the best-selling female artist Australia has ever produced, but now the Princess of Pop has turned her attention to filling our glasses rather than the dance floor. Kylie Minogue has launched her own brand of rosé today, neatly coinciding with her 52nd birthday. As celebrity winemakers are, of course, nothing new, but it's perfectly timed as consumers in the UK saw the Brits reaching for a glass of pink during the pandemic more than they did before. Last week, Waitrose reported a 400% sales increase. Rosé has seen some of the strongest year-on-year growth over the last few years.
What's going to be called? Cosé?
I don't know yet.
Chateau Minogue.
It's very reasonable. £9 a pop.
What, in England?
Yes.
Doesn't say very much for it then, does it? You're up to date. The news is on the website, riviaradio.mc.